Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Thankful for everything that the Lord has done and given us. I'd read a book, heard a message in 99 that it moved me so much that I preached the message, and the title kept coming back to me, and I looked and looked and looked for the tape of that old message and couldn't find it anywhere. And I preached it out of Brother Randy's church, who keeps tape of every single service ever since, and nothing is missing. And he looked through and he couldn't find it. And I guess the Lord just want to make an update on it. I'm thankful for the opportunity to stand before you. I pray that the Lord speaks to you this morning. I love feeling His presence and His anointing. There's nothing better. If you'll turn with me to Job, chapter number 11, and when you get there, please stand for the reading of the Word. Job, chapter number, not 11, chapter number 10. Job, chapter number 10. And we'll pick up at verse number 7, Job chapter number 10, verse number 7. Thou knowest that I am not wicked. What a wonderful thing for God to know about you. Thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me. You ever feel like that sometimes? Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? Hast thou not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. Listen to this now. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. And these things hast thou hid in thine heart. I know that this is with thee. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The title of the thought that I had is Making the Most of Your Moments. And I believe that God gives us a wonderful gift in giving us life, in giving us moments in our lives. And our gift to Him is what we do with those moments that we have. Too many times, us today spend all of our moments, instead of being in the now and instead of enjoying what we have now, all we have been trained to do and all we can do is continually look at what we don't have and what we need to obtain and what we need to give. And life comes by just like a jet plane on the ground so fast, we just feel the winds and the effects of it, and we never get to enjoy the life that we have now because we're too busy looking into our tomorrow. Wondering what's going to happen tomorrow. Wondering, can I get this? Can I purchase this? Can I obtain this? Will I get this? Will I be able to function in this way? Will they like me? Will they won't like me? Will we be able to do this? And I'm telling you today that the voice from the Lord is simply to tell us this, that make the most of the moment that you have. His Word proclaims to us, don't take no thought for the tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough evil in itself, and we need to realize the reason that He told us that, because we don't have a promise of tomorrow. So we need to make the most of the moments that we have today. I know some of the youngins in here have the hopes of a degree and the hopes of this, but they don't have that promise. Oh, that's bad news. No, that's good news. We need to make the most of our relationships while we're here. I need to get everything from you and you and you and you two that I can get. Why? Because they may not be here tomorrow. Don't let anyone in your life leave this world untold that you love them and you care for them. If you do, it's not God's fault. It's not the devil's fault. It is your fault. Make the most... Look, there is levels Agree or disagree, this is just the way it is. There is some levels in the anointing you will not obtain by yourself. It must be got through relationship. Some folks may not understand that, but that's just the way that God is. Why? Because He said, He was very clear to state, where two or more are gathered, there's something about having relationships with your brothers and sisters in Christ so that they can grow you. Iron sharpens iron. You need to get somebody who is just about on your level or a little bit above what you think and do. I need to get around some people who may not just believe exactly like I believe, to so that we can converse about the Word. Paul told us to go on. Don't just stay in the same thing of baptism and the laws. Let's move on. Dead repentance from dead works. How many people know if you sin you need to repent? Do we need to keep preaching that over and over and over? Why can't we go to the better things and teach you something that is grand? Not how to repent after you sin, but how to make the most of the moment before you sin. We need to realize every moment we have is precious. Scott, do this for me, brother. Just go. He'll never get that breath again, no matter what he can do to try to obtain it, no matter what he can do to try to bottle it. He can blow it into a balloon, but it's not going to be the same when he takes it back in. God gave him that breath as a gift. It's a wonderful gift. Right then when he did it, that was what he needed. He enjoyed it. Don't you enjoy breathing, brother? Why don't we take our relationships to a place that when I'm with you, I don't need to be thinking, I need to be over here. And I wonder, and the cell phones take care of a lot of that for us, because I can be here and I can do this. But when I'm doing this, I'm not paying you a bit of mind. I see that in business today. Debbie just told us a story. A girl was ringing her up and flipped up the cell phone while she's doing her work. Down here, texting underneath the counter. And you see them turning their back and answer. Look, you're not giving me the most of my moment. And you're not making the most of yours. You don't know what somebody has. We need to realize that we need to take every second of our life. And look, you will never be able to enjoy the fullness of what God has given you until you know wherever you're at, that's the place to be. I got into a tailspin one time. When I was at work, I wanted to be hunting. When I was sitting in a tree, I wanted to be home. When I was at home, I wanted to be at work. And I never was happy. I was always thinking, when I was there, I wasn't there. I wasn't making the most of my moments. And life was just speeding by because I was never happy. I should be somewhere else. You ever try to sit still in a tree for 6 hours thinking you need to be somewhere else, brother? You don't know. For me, that's bad. That is like tying up a newborn calf in a stall and telling me he can't get outside. And then you get down and you go home, and here I am sitting with my wife, and I know I'm supposed to be home because I'm off from work and I'm thinking about work. I ought to be at work. I ought to be making money. I ought to be some side job. I ought to be doing it. So when I'm out there, I start to make a side job. Now, I should be doing what I enjoy. What's the sense in working myself to death, brother? If I can't do what I enjoy, I need to be out hunting. So I go out hunting. Well, Cheryl's up at home by herself. She knows I ought to be at home, and I go round and around and around, and I never enjoy the moment that God has given me. And if I stay in that condition, I'll never know life and life more abundantly. We need to realize God gave every one of you a special gift, and I am pleased that you choose to share it with me. Don't dream about what I could have somewhere else. How many knows just through advertisement we're never going to buy it all? We're never going to obtain it all. And if we do, they'll just change the color and we'll have to get them then. How many have seen, look at the fashion world. How many have seen the fashions from when I was a kid come back today? If all we're going to do is try to obtain tomorrow, today,
will pass us by ever so quickly. Paul said, hey, I know this one thing. I am ordered to have everything and I'm ordered to have nothing. I'm ordered. I know how I can be full and I know how I can be hungry. But I found out this one thing. Wherever I'm at, therewith I'll be content. What a wonderful thing to be happy where you're at. And I'm not talking about part-time happy where, well, we arrive at Rick and Vicky's and we're happy we're here, brother. Let's eat the chili and throw down the crackers and halfway through say, well, maybe I ought to go home. Maybe I ought to be this and I ought to be that. But we shouldn't have made them plans anyway because now it's time. When we were thinking about it, we were, and there we go, moving all of our moments away out of our grasp. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I know we use that for money, but let's in America get off of money for a minute. Because after all, in Joel, it was not, and I know they use this to preach finances too, but it was not, it did not say, God did not say, He did not say, I'm going to restore unto you all of the cash that the palmer worm ate. He didn't say it, did He? He didn't say, I'm going to restore unto you all of the health that the canker worm got, did He? What did He tell him? I'm going to restore. Look, you can take my money. You can waste my money. Let me buy a piece of hunting junk that don't mean nothing but it looks good on the page. It's nothing but junk. I can make more money because I got the gift of life. But when you waste my time, you've wasted a precious thing that I can't get back. God says that He will restore the years that were lost to you. You, Penny, know what a promise that is. To restore the years that you lost thinking about other things. Wanting to be... When I read that, I come apart. I said, my, I can go hunting and know that's where I'm going to be. Because after all, Brian, guess who took me there? I did! I made the decision. I made a right decision. Not, well, how do you know it's right? Maybe you should have been at home. No, I ain't going back there. I done been there. Look, my body don't go nowhere. My head and feet don't take it. If I made that decision, I'm going to stick with that decision that I made, and I'm going to know, I'm going to believe in myself, wherever I'm at, that is the place that I need to be. That is the place I'm going to be. I'm going to be assured of myself. Well, what if it's not? Who cares? I made the decision. It is my life and my moment. If I'm over here, do you see where? If I'm over here, sis, and I'm thinking I need to be over there, am I enjoying this moment? Is me being over there the right thing and this being the wrong thing? I made a wrong decision. I should have went home instead of went hunting. Is it going to change anything? Absolutely not. Folks who hunt knows that you get up there in the evening and you stay till dark and you come down. What good would it be for me to come strolling through the woods at 6 o'clock? The hunt's ruined. I'm still not home when I thought I was supposed to be home. I'm still not at work. The whole thing's ruined. And I throw up my hand and just tired of it. I'm just tired of it. I just can't handle it anymore. It's just too much. There's too much going on. How many folks have felt that? It's just too fast, too much, something all... Stop! It's not too much if it's your moment. It's not too much if that's where you believe you need to be. It becomes too much, Rick, when I think I need to be here, and I think I need to be here, and I think I need to be back there. Then it's too much for me to handle. Then I become overburdened with the cares and the things that I have to go through. Let's look at the woman with the issue of blood. I believe it's Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Bless His name. I feel good. And I can't quit thinking about it either, brother. Luke chapter 8, verse number 43. Number 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living on physicians, neither could be healed of any. This woman had a problem. She had financial issues. She had physical issues. She had relationship issues. I don't know if anybody ever looks into the relationship part of that, but through her blood issue, she was unclean and it couldn't nobody come around her. 12 years. The thing that should have lasted 5 to 7 days is now lasting her 12 years. She is stuck in a cycle that she can't get out of in her own will. She's tried everything she can try, but it's not getting her what she needs. Now, she can be like us a lot of times. Here we go. She could have sat up there on her window, looked out there and said, look at him. Look at all them people crowding around there, touching him. If he cared about me, he'd come up here and heal me. I know he can do it. But I ain't going down there making a fool out of myself. That's just not my character. You know what I tell people, Debbie, when they tell me that's just not my character? I said, you're right. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Get a whole new attitude, whole new personality, and a whole new you. But we grab some of our junk and we bring it into our now relationship so we'll have our steady steadpost to hold on to and be able to cover ourselves and make excuses. She could have sat up there and said, there he goes, yep. More concerned with the little girl and getting him some publicity. Oh, I've heard he heals. I'm sure she did, or she wouldn't never went down there, right? I heard he heals. But if it was really for me, he would come up here to my house, wouldn't he? Don't Jesus visit the sick and take care of them? And she could have sat there and missed her moment and watched her new life go by because of a decision. You know, deciding to do nothing can kill you. So I don't know about you, but I reckon she was pretty bad off if she'd been bleeding for 12 years. But something ticked in her head that she said, I've heard about this man. I'm not worthy to go down there. I'm not supposed to be down there. But I don't have much left in me. Now we know the story, how it says that as she went down there and the crowd was all around, just I pictured the disciples kind of getting Jesus through the crowd like this and everybody pushing and shoving and Jesus said, who touched me? And Peter said, man, have you lost your mind? Everybody's touching you. He said, no. Somebody touched me through the crowd where nobody knew what was going on. Is it womanlike for a woman to get down and crawl through the streets and through a crowd to do that? Is that what she's supposed to do? Is that what the synagogue instructed her to do? Absolutely not. But with all she had, she seen her moment coming by and she fell down on her knees and grabbed the hem of his robe, and at her moment, she threw faith, reached up, touched Jesus, and all of the cycle that she'd been through, all of the issues that she was carrying, dried up immediately. You'll never dry up your issues till you bring them to Jesus. You'll never end the cycle that you're in, constantly wanting to do this and be this and go there and all this. You'll never do it until you bring it to Jesus. He is the one who can fix it. And it didn't say, well, Peter, I know somebody touched me because I'm the Son of God and I've got all power and that's why somebody was made whole. No, he didn't say that. What did he turn around and tell her? Thy faith. Can I tell you this? Jesus didn't even know she was in the vicinity. If he did, he wouldn't have had to say it, who touched her. If he didn't know she was coming, I believe he'd have said, stop. How many other people would holler out, thou son of David, and he'd say, what do you want? Bartimaeus had to throw his old clothes off. Throw off the old blind coverings that would blind him to the goodness of God. When his moment came, I believe he sat there in them streets all the time. It's what the Bible tells us, don't it? I believe him sitting there. He said, one day he's coming by. And when he does, that's going to be my moment. Through the obscurity of the darkness of life, I can't find him right now. But he's coming by. I'll be able, how would a blind man be able to tell Jesus was coming? Because when Jesus is moving, he makes a ruckus. He's sitting there and he hears the rumble and it's getting closer and it's getting closer. Look, the Bible, we should not see, think this hard to understand. How many times does the Bible say, when the Lord? There's a moment when you say when, there was a moment. Everything was going this way. When the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, it turned and went the other way. In a moment that way. How are you going to be changed? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. And when he's seen his moment at the opportune time, here he is. He's all covered up by everybody. And he's down here and he's sitting there just waiting. And I believe he just feels it welling up in him, and he's waiting and he's waiting, and right when he hears the opportune moment, he said, this is the time I'm going to make the most of my moment. And he says, oh Jesus, thou Son of David. And everybody said, well, let's get out of the way and let him up here. Is that what they said? No, they said, shut up. Shh. Don't you bother him, you old blind boy. You've been blind all year. You've had this problem. You can't see God. You can't see Jesus. You're just in our way. What did say he did? Didn't get him the first time. He said he cried all the more. He cried all the more. I believe he was down there and he got off of his bed. He said, I can't get up and run, but I'll crawl and I'll keep saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And I'll crawl after the sound and the movement of the Spirit, because that's where I'm going to find my moment. That's where I'm going to be able to shed this darkness that is around me. But today we have obscured the brightness of Jesus Christ through all of this filthy. It's a man telling people, you got to do this, you got to do that. But I'm telling you today, don't let the moment that Jesus has set up for you, don't let it slip away. Amen. I don't care what they say. There, I know, if I ask to raise a hand, everybody can raise their hand of people who's in a situation. Everybody's got something going on in their life. If you're breathing, you qualify. And tomorrow, you're going to have something going on in your life. You heard me say it here 100 times. Here comes 101. Everybody I run in tomorrow is not going to act the way I want them to. Believe it or not, even Cheryl ain't going to act the way I want her to. Everything. Oh, man. Oh, does it feel good. I wish I could rip my insides open and let y'all see just a shower of the Holy Spirit just inside. Oh, Lordy. Look, there is a reason when I was a little child. There was a reason the rheumatic fever didn't get me when I was in the hospital. Do you hear me? There was a reason when I was taking out Mama's garbage and the bag hit me on the back of my calf and split my calf in half. And I was a kid and I looked at it and it was just a little trickle of blood. But when I opened it up, I seen my life's blood squirt out about 10, 12 feet every pump. I got scared. I held it shut, went in the house, got a towel, tied it around my head, my leg, run around behind the garage, sat down, was scared to death. I didn't know what I was going to do. Didn't know how I was going to explain it. We didn't have a lot of money. We wasn't going to no hospital. I didn't know what I was going to do. And my grandmother blood trailed me and found me behind there. There's a reason that I didn't lay back here and bleed to death. There's a reason that when the lupus came, that the doctor said, it might get you, but it didn't get me. There's a reason when the liver counts was all crazy, but it didn't get me. There's a reason when I fell out of the tree stand, I got right back up and climbed up in the thing. There's a reason that every time I go down the road and I see a terrible accident, there's a reason. I believe there's a reason. There's a reason. For me and for God's people. Amen. Folks, God is not done with us yet. And until you realize your potential, not for tomorrow. We have been taught so much. Chelsea, it's not about tomorrow. It's what you can do today. It's not about tomorrow. It's how you can help her today. We don't know what tomorrow has. How many of us has had plans for tomorrow and they all got changed? Realize your potential. Do you see your potential? Do you see? When I wake up in the morning and I go, God just said, kiss me with life. And I say, I'm not done yet. I got one more day. I tell him at work, if the devil kills me, then I get to go be with Jesus. If he leaves me here, I'm going to give him problems. I win either way. Wherever I'm at, that's where I need to be. That's what you need to see in yourself. That's be happy where you're at. There's a reason that you didn't dehydrate all the way when you got sick that time, because God needed you to sing a song today. There's a reason you survived cancer. There's a reason you're not a drug overdose. There's a reason you survived the wreck. There's a reason you survived the things that you've been through. There's a reason that you didn't end up in jail all your life. There's a reason you didn't end up... There's a reason you survived cancer. There's a reason you survived the things that you've done. There is a reason that God's people keep on surviving. If we make a bad decision, the devil gets a hold of it, brother, and sometimes he won't let go and we'll spend the rest of our life just regretting what we did. But you don't hear me say a whole lot about my past. You know why? Because my past is buried under the blood. And I'm going to get a bloody mess if I go digging around in it. I'll tell you, it's under the blood and nothing happened to you because there's a reason. Rick Weddington, there's a reason you didn't die of a heart attack. But, there's a reason. How many of you can look and see a place where your life could have been tucked right then? You ever wonder why? Where's Ray at? Where's Ray? Where's your head at, Ray? There's a reason, brother. It wasn't you that died in that car wreck. If you look around your neighbors that are sitting around you, they're here for a reason. You know why? Because I need you. God keeps putting you through what you go through just because I need you. You go through the struggles, you go, there's a reason you ain't spilled your brains out, brother. All them times you whacked your head. There's a reason. We need somebody to stand up here and say, we can't praise him enough. Right? When Rick's not here, who says that? Nobody. Look. 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 Look at the wonderful gift of life. Sure, you're messed up. Sure, you got things going on. Sure, you're dysfunctional. Sure, you don't think right. Absolutely 100%. But there is a God who has given you moments to straighten your life out. He is the power and the authority of all that I am. I can't turn back now. You can't change my mind. I've seen it. Amen. She had that issue for 12 years. A cycle that was just supposed to be about a week. Wouldn't stop. Just kept going and going. And it got into her finances. It got into her relationships. It got into her physical being. And there was only one thing that she could do. That was break her posture and come to God. Debbie and Cheryl, I need you to help me. I know I scared you to death, but don't be. That song, I Am the Lord That Healeth Thee. Y'all sing that. You know, she'll pick up with you. Listen to this, folks.
I am the God that healeth thee. Your disease. I am.
Everybody stand.
You are the God.
If you need anything, the altar's here. You can reach out and change the moments of your life or someone else's.
My healer, you sent your word and healed my disease. You are